No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me. Captain Dennis, maybe even Keith, is going to join us here a little bit later on the big show today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. However, I'm flying solo right now, even though I don't have my ticket, but don't tell anyone. But I do have the big guns to help me kick off today's, you know, one-hour radio spectacular. I got Lights from Sun and Fun on with us at Just Plane Radio right now. Lights, how are you, buddy?
Too good to be true. Getting better every second. We're racing towards the big event of the year for all aviation fanatics.
That's right. Sun and Fun is just around the corner. We're you know, like a month away, thereabouts. And I can't wait. It'll be the first big aviation event that we, bring the Just Plane Radio crew out to. Captain Dennis is planning to fly down his newly equipped Mooney. With its new ADS-B in and out and all this new avionics equipment from Avadyne and Apario. He's excited. I know he's excited. He wanted to talk to you today, but he's too busy playing with his new gadgets and making all the knobs turn and the panel light up in all kind of psychedelic colors. So he's a little distracted. You hear what I'm saying, Lights?
Yeah, you know what? I am thrilled to hear that he is doing that because that's one more indication that the American public is turning their attention back to aviation. He's a small microcosm of it, but we're seeing it turn around all across the nation that in the last 5 to 7 years, there's been a slow but downward turn in enthusiasm towards aviation, except for all of us old diehard guys who got gray hair. But the new generation is starting to turn it around, and I would say two things. One, I'm thrilled that he's got all that new equipment in there because that's what we're all about at the Expo. Come find the coolest stuff that can go in your airplane and make it a safer, more efficient, and effective tool for you to fly or just have fun in. And second of all, I'm glad he's flying in because that's, once again, the whole purpose of this event is not for you to get in your Volkswagen and drive in. Mm-hmm. It's to get in your airplane, whatever make, model, or year it was made, and come be part of the experience of flying in. We got the best controllers on the planet parked up there in our tower, and they are giving guidance and ensuring that you get safely on the runway. And then our superb volunteers ensure that the escort of your aircraft to whatever destination you want to go, if you follow the NOTAM and put the big letters in your window of if you want to go to vintage camping or general aviation camping, we'll get you there. Mm-hmm. So every time I've gone to either Air Venture at Oshkosh or when I was flying in here as a guest, that's right, I flew in. I never drove in.
Yes, it's a totally different experience and really adds to the adventure. It's about the journey, right? It's not necessarily about the destination. Actually, it's about the destination and the journey when you're talking about Sun and Fun. But really getting there, that is kind of a cool thing to witness. And I did this a couple years ago, actually 3-4 years ago we flew in. But I'm hoping he's going to fly down from Minnesota, pick me up in Orlando, and I'm going to fly as his co-pilot. So,
when I talk to the folks that come to Sun and Fun, and I walk around, as you well know, I cover the campus 24/7 during the event.
Yes.
And I ask, where'd you come from? How'd you get here? And the ones that flew in, you can see a glow in their face. They've accomplished something of noteworthiness, and it's an experience. We're experiential people now, so they're getting that great experience. And the ones that drive in, and they'll do it almost like this. Oh, I drove in from North Carolina. I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad you're here. That's awesome. Now, some of them don't fly. They just love the experience of being around airplanes, and I get that.
Right.
But the ones who are pilots that drive in, I go, shame on you. This was a great opportunity. Oh, well, it was too far. I go, I fly to Oshkosh for crying aloud. That's not too far. Yeah. Now, if you're having a fly-in in San Diego, I'd probably take American.
Right. Well, true. But for an event like this, it really is, it's just part of the experience. And it also, brings everybody together because everyone's hanging out by their airplanes if they've flown in or they're hanging out at the campsites there on site. It really is a more communal type of experience as opposed to, coming to the show and then leaving at night and going to a hotel or back home or whatever you need to do. So it
is
the whole experience.
And that's the part that I try to convince some of the fly-in folks. I said, look, bring a tent. We've got great shower houses. We got great food in the evenings out here. Lots of things going on. A lot of camaraderie. When I was flying in here and the steerman, we'd come in on Thursday and we wouldn't leave till sometime Sunday afternoon or Monday morning because we camped under the wing. We didn't go to a hotel. We didn't go downtown. The real excitement was sharing the love, the camaraderie of aviation right here on site, because it's such a warm and inviting experience that you go home and tell stories about. I mean, I was talking to a guy the other day that I used, before I even knew I was coming here, I used to go sit where they would have their little enclave, and they were playing bluegrass music. They all played, and I just would go there and sit and have a libation or two, right, and chat with them about the world of aviation and share the experience of music and airplanes. It was great, and they're still coming to this day. So that's what I would really encourage people to get in your plane, throw in a camping bag, and make it an experience, whether it be one night, two, or three. And you know what? Your wife will get over it. And I know the kids would love it.
Well, no doubt. And you know, the facilities are really nice. Even me, being that the glamper that I am, found the facilities to be very accommodating. So this isn't like roughing it when it comes to camping. The facilities there at Southern Fun are really, really nice.
And well, actually, we just invested $50,000 in what we call Shower House A, which is over by Vintage, right behind it's the gate from the Vintage area right into the main campus, and we've completely refurbished it. Rinnai hot water heaters, screened in porches, new sinks, new mirrors, new piping, all new paint. Redid the floor, we paved a road around us. There's no more dust bowl out there. So I mean, we continue to improve the facility to get to the level of customer satisfaction that everybody goes, wow, this is really nice.
Yeah, well, it is. And let's not forget why we go. I mean, the event itself is spectacular. By the way, you can check it out. sun-n-fun.org is the website, and you can get all the information. Did I get that right?
Greg,
yeah?
You're living in the past, buddy. I'm sorry, man. I'm going to update you right now.
Okay.
We moved into the 22nd century. We are now flysnf.org.
Oh, okay. So that's even easier.
FlySNF.org. We made it simple. That's all of our websites now.
Okay.
So the old one will get you there. The best one is flysnf.org. We all own right. that, and it works great.
Perfect. Yeah, it'll be easier to share with everyone, too. I love it. But it is about the event. There's so many cool things happening. You know, you got the fireworks and the air shows happening throughout the week. You know, Wednesday nights, Saturday nights, there's big fireworks. And this year, you're bringing in some kind of special bombing run thing. What is going on exactly?
Well, you know, we've always had a pretty good contingency of military warbirds from World War II and a little bit earlier, and then, of course, Vietnam and Korea. But this year we're going to bring in something that's never been seen at Sun and Fun in its 44-year history, and it's an act called Tora, Tora, Tora. And it's literally the same aircraft that performed in that movie. And they bring 8 aircraft, a myriad of Japanese aircraft that have been configured from Texans, but they look just like the Japanese Zeros and Kates, the same ones that performed in the movie. And then P-40s and P-51s, and they have this aerial dogfight and bombing and strafing and a great narration. It goes about 18 minutes, lots of pyrotechnics going off. Just a fabulous show that we'll do that on Saturday and Sunday only for our weekend crowd, because they really love that. And, of course, we're going to be bringing in the Thunderbirds. Will be here on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right on.
And then we've got the Super Hornet coming in for a full demo. They will be doing something kind of neat this year. They'll be doing a legacy flight that we haven't seen in a long time because the Navy didn't authorize it till this year. So we're looking to have 3 F-4U Corsairs on the ramp, along with the Helldiver, the SB-2C Helldiver, which is only one in the world. And they should be flying in formation with the Super Hornet for a photo pass that you're not going to get anywhere else on the planet. Just that simple.
Well, there you go. Yeah, the 10th through the 15th of April in Lakeland, Florida. Right. And once again, the website again is
flysnf.org. That's flysnf.org. And I know you're going to wrap it up here pretty quick, but I want to make sure everybody knows that when you come here, the most important component of you, of every guest coming in the door, is the dollars are turned right back around and poured into aviation education programs, whether it be our summer camps, our weekend camps, our night events, or more importantly, our scholarships for our own high school students, which we have a high school on our campus that teaches aerospace sciences for pilots, mechanics, and engineers. And we provide scholarships to the tune of over $430,000 annually. We're producing two brand new teenage 17-year-old private pilots every single month. Excellent. Nobody does that.
Yes. You know, it's a great time of benefiting, obviously, a great cause. It's a win-win for sure. Everybody needs to be there if they love aviation. This is going to be where everyone is in April for sure. So, Lights, we look forward to it. We'll see you down there. I know Dennis is going to bring his Mooney down. We'll have our crew from Just Plain Radio and create a bit of a ruckus and just join the party, okay?
I'm looking forward to it. If you let me know when you're coming in, if my schedule's not full, I'll meet you with the plane out there in the grass.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, you can count on it. All right. We got more coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's rattling back there?
I don't know what this thing is.
My controls.
Roger that.
Is that tow bar come loose?
Well, I don't know. Is this the tow bar?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, sorry, the bag. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I got it. Sorry. I got it.
Peanut brittle. Could this day get any better?
No! Oh, God. No!
Get the tow bar off the yoke!
No, it's stuck between the seat!
I got it! Oh! Oh!
Stay with us, Gus! Oh, my God, those cheekbones. You look like JFK Jr. Oh! He looks like JFK Jr.!
I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, put it on autopilot! Put it on autopilot!
There is no autopilot. This is a lawnmower with wings.
Well, you fly remote control planes. Do what you do there!
I crash them! That's why I buy all the time! Oh, I was wrong. I don't want to die this way. Oh, that'll settle for a nice, boring death at ground level.
Well, technically, we will be dying at ground level!
I got it!
Okay.
We're good.
Right, just so you know, I completely kept my cool through that whole thing.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me. And I am now joined by Captain Dennis, the proud owner of a Mooney 201. It's just been upgraded with some new avionics from Avadyne and Apario. And he's a happy camper because, am I right, Dennis? You are
very
now
happy camper,
fully equipped and ready to fly down to Sun and Fun with this new gear, and you'll be totally ADS-B in and out compliant. Right?
That's correct. Everything's working. We just successfully completed the validation flight. We got no red marks on our scorecard, so we are good to go.
All right. I love it. You know, you sent me a picture. So you actually did your validation flight. And so we're clear, the validation flight is the flight you have to make to prove that all this stuff works that you send to the FAA to get your $500 credit for your ADS-B in and out rebate program. Is that what it is?
Right. Yep, that's what it is. And actually, anybody that equips for ADS-BL can do the same validation. It basically, you're just pulling a performance report. So the FAA has the ability to look at your flight that you just did, and it'll let you know if there was any errors in your ADS-B reporting. Was there something misconfigured? Was your transponder reporting that it was in the air while you're still in the ground? Things like that. And So it gives you just kind of a little health check. And they encourage pilots to do these checks periodically, because if your airplane is not performing correctly, if maybe something's misconfigured and you've got the wrong N number or your wrong ICAO ID, they could potentially flag your airplane and no longer provide you services such as traffic and weather because you're not compliant.
Hmm. And you don't want to be one of those guys. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be Dennis, who is fully compliant and now so excited because he's ready to fly down to Florida from Minnesota. You're ready to get the hell out of Dodge up there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm about ready. I've had enough of winter.
Yes. And so the only thing keeping you from flying your plane outside of the immediate airspace at the moment is you still have some minor cosmetic upgrade you're working on, or what?
Well, it's not. It won't prevent me from going, but the last project that I need to finish up now is one of those while we were in there. So, here we're doing all this work and everything looks so gorgeous in the panel. And then I looked down at the floor and went, 35-year-old carpet's really showing its age. Mm-hmm. And so we did manage to get some new carpets from SCS Interiors out of Duluth, Minnesota. And I've got them sitting in the hangar and I'm just waiting for it to warm up so I can actually go outside, open up the doors, and get in with some good glue remover to get the remains of the old carpet adhesive out of there before I put the new stuff down.
Okay. And is that temperature related? Because it has to be a certain temperature for you to be able to get that crap out of there or something?
I just want to be comfortable.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to have a gas-fired heater inside the hangar while I've got solvents. That's probably not a good thing for safety reasons.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, how cold is it there in Minnesota right now?
It's actually warming up. I know, Greg, you're going to grab your fur coat here, but it's getting into the 40s right now.
Okay.
It's downright balmy.
All right. That's not, unbearable. I mean,
no, but it's supposed to be into the 50s after showtime today. So,
okay,
I might get up to the airport yet this afternoon and go knock that out.
Well, I'm going to be in New York City next week. So, they're saying about 50 is the high. I can tolerate that. You know, when
just
I go
wear
north,
layers,
yeah, wear layers and bundle up and just like, okay, I only got to deal this for a few days. Now, you, on the other hand, all I can say is I'm glad I'm not you, because I don't have to live there. I got a place to escape to. But you can escape and you can come down here anytime now that you got your Mooney all set.
Well, and
up.
I did last week. I mean, I came down to meet up with you and go visit with a customer.
That's
but
right.
The weather didn't cooperate real well for me. It finally got into the 80s on the day I was going home.
Right. But you were flying commercial, so that didn't count.
Yeah, it's not quite the same.
Yeah, that first flight with the new avionics and everything from Avidyn and Apario, I mean, when you come down and fly for Sun and Fun, you think that's going to be the first trip down? Because it's only, like a month away.
Yeah, it's probably going to be my first long trip. I do plan to maybe even take it up to up northern Minnesota and go visit family and go do a few things maybe over the next week or two just to get a couple shorter-term cross-countries, because I'll be honest, there's still quite a learning curve.
Yeah.
Everything's new, and I mean, it's all very intuitive. It's just I got to get used to having all of this stuff here.
Right. Now, you had told me that your first flight with the new gear installed was with your son, Austin.
Yes.
And he basically took over with this new gear because he knew all what the buttons did and could make the colors dance and all that kind of stuff, or
well,
what?
Right. He's just completed his instrument rating, and the flight school that he's, you know, going through, they have, you know, newer cockpits. Some of them have got Garmin 500, some of them got Garmin 430s, you know, so he's used to working with the new glass, you know, avionics, where I've been flying this Moody now for coming up almost a year, and I'm still stuck in the old school avionics and never really had much of an opportunity to play with the newer movie maps. So for me, a lot of this is new, how to load procedures and, you know, go through it. And for him, it's almost the same layout. So it was pretty easy for him to just jump in and start clicking here and loading up an approach plate, and mm-hmm. off we go.
Yeah. So are you finding that even though there's this learning curve that you're going to have to just use it to kind of get over that hump, that it's doing what you thought it would and then some? I mean,
it's doing everything it used to do, only better and easier. It's just, there's so many more things available to me that I want to be able to take advantage of. And that's where, you know, you just got to play with it and say, oh, it can do this too. And, oh, look, I got an actual taxi diagram on the panel while I'm on the ground. Things that just were not possible before.
Mm-hmm. And then so, also you got new comm radios, right?
That's all part of it.
Yeah.
Well, the comm radios and the GPS, it's all in one. And so what the first thing that we noticed as we called up tower for our taxi clearance was how clear the new radios were. We've got stereo intercom and audio panel now, where before it was analog or mono. And it's just amazing the difference that made. It's so crisp and clear. There's no static. It cuts out the squelch automatically in between calls so that you don't have any background hiss. It's just wonderful.
Just makes the experience just that much more enjoyable. Well, I love to hear that. I'm glad it's going well. And, of course, we'll continue to cover this process right here on Just Plane Radio. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me with Captain Dennis right now as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. We're gonna get to some, top stories here in just a bit, but we're kind of talking about Dennis's new plane and the fact that he's gonna fly down to Sun and Fun. Just for the experience, and I mean, really to show off this new gear to some fellow Mooney folks, right? Isn't that part of the plan, Dennis?
Yeah, we've got to have the Mooneyax take a look and see what you can do with your panel, too.
Yeah, so if you have a Mooney, that'll be a great opportunity to maybe sync up with Dennis at the show and see how you could do the same.
Even if you don't have a Mooney, the Avidyne avionics work in every GA airplane, whether they're experimental or Part 23 certified, doesn't matter. Works
right.
With all. Same with the Apario transponder.
Exactly. But the Mooneyax, which will be out in force at Sun and Fun, no doubt, as they always are, that'll be a special crew that you're probably going to want to sync up with, I'm guessing. Am I right?
That's right. Yeah. Yep. I'd like to get together with the Mooneyax. Anybody from Mooney Space, feel free to look me up.
Right. And you're going to fly down. Have you already made the plans where you're going to fly down by yourself? Are you bringing Austin down with you as your co-pilot? Are you going to pick me up in Orlando? What are you going to do? Do you know yet?
I think I'm going to wind up coming down solo.
Okay. So you can pick me up in Orlando. That'd be great.
That actually probably works out well, because I think I might wind up going down a couple days before the show just to get down there, so I'm not, caught by some freak spring storm or something like that.
Right.
And then I'll be at the show, and then Austin has school that week, but I think he's off Friday, so he might wind up flying commercial into Orlando or Tampa or something like that, and then we'll figure out a way to get him over to the show, and then he'll fly back with me.
All right. Have you already looked at all the NOTAMs and the, you know, the procedures that they have, like Lights was talking about earlier about flying?
I haven't looked over the 2018 NOTAM yet, but it's probably very similar to what we do, what they do with the Oshkosh, and so I do have it up on the computer, and I'll look through that, but I'll have to have it printed out and make the window placards and stuff so they know
where
to park
me. Yes, they're very much the same. I've done it once. I'll be able to lend that advice to you. Or,
well, that's good. That's going to be real helpful.
Avoid that plane. That's about as much help as I'm going to provide.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If you build an airplane and people are afraid of anything that flies, you can't just take the wings off of it, because at that point, all you're left with is a really slow, super expensive bus. We built an airplane, we gotta fly it.
Airplane, airplane, don't you go down today, take me away, off to a better place, you know. Get me there real soon. I've important things that I must do.
Like listening to Just Plane Radio, which is what you're doing right now. I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Dennis, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so Dennis has his new, newly equipped Mooney 201. He's ready to fly down to Sun and Fun here in a few weeks, among other, you know, trips that are on the list. But we have some stuff that, I don't know, maybe this will apply to you eventually. But Dynon, that same company, or a parent company that we were talking about last week or the week before, about the this new Ranger airplane and trainer that's going to be like under $100,000, put out another press release this week about some new avionics that have been approved, I don't know, for certified aircraft. And this is kind of a big deal, isn't it, Dennis?
It is. What Dynon is doing, they announced this last year at Oshkosh, I think it was, they are taking their glass panel displays, so getting rid of the six-pack gauges that I have in a Mooney and a lot of people have, and replacing it with a 10-inch all-glass display. And they're doing that. They've been doing this in the experimental market for years. It's been probably one of the most popular glass panel options for home-built planes.
Right. I saw it at the Light Sport Expo in Sebring that we were at a few weeks ago. And they had a nice display. I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting. It looks like a Garmin system, and I don't think it's nearly as expensive. I mean, obviously, I didn't know it was going to be all of a sudden announced that you could put this in a certified aircraft like a 172 or something, but evidently that's the case now.
Well, what was interesting is that Oshkosh, they had not just a Cessna 172, but a Beechcraft Baron, so a fairly high-performance twin that they were targeting to put this in as well. But what amazed me was the price point. They were talking somewhere in the $10,000 range to completely replace your old-school steam gauges with a, you know, state-of-the-art digital glass panel that also included ADS-B out transponder and an autopilot.
And typically that would have cost what? Or what was the price point before?
I'm sure you're looking at six figures by the time you started getting all of that stuff put in.
Huh.
You know, even for my airplane, the lowest cost option I have today would be something like an Aspen, which would replace just my attitude and direction gyros, which would be nice to get rid of the vacuum system, but you're looking at about $10,000 just for the hardware cost, not counting install, just to upgrade those two items. So that's not something I'm going to be able to swallow anytime soon.
Yeah, well, you know, getting commercially certified aircraft equipped with the stuff that the Light Sport division or group has been, taken advantage of for several years. I mean, that's pretty dramatic stuff.
It is, and it's really reflecting that the FAA is finally realizing that there is more benefits than risks by getting rid of legacy interfaces like that, you know, by getting rid of failure prone vacuum pumps that, you know, last maybe 500 hours and putting in a digital instrument that lasts tens of thousands of hours, provides a lot of safety.
And they look way cooler.
I think they're a lot more intuitive in many ways. I mean, well, sure. If you were to show any up-and-coming pilot a glass cockpit display, they could probably figure it out in seconds. Show them my display with 6 gauges and a couple of needles and tell them to fly the same approach. I think it would take a lot more acclimation to get to a level of proficiency.
That's right. It uses the same technology. You grow up with your iPhone. All the kids are playing with all that stuff, you know. So they're much more intuitive to learn, even maybe for the old school guys, maybe not so much. But the newer folks, yeah, and that even me, I put myself in that category, even though I probably fall in the old school category as well. But I'm an early adopter. I'll go with that excuse. All right, so it's good stuff. Dynon, I mean, when you see this innovation taking hold and the FAA kind of jumping on board, I think that's a good sign for the industry as well. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of that type of stuff at Sun and Fun, and we will cover it accordingly here on Just Plain Radio. Now, Dennis, being that he is a Mooniac with his Mooney that he just got upgraded, you're obviously paying attention to more Mooney-like stories, and you sent me this story about this guy. Was it this pilot? Was he right here in your backyard, or was this just an event that he spoke at, or what? What happened?
So our local airport has a very active pilot safety program. We actually have seminars every Saturday morning, and this week's speaker was a gentleman from Winona, Minnesota, which is maybe less than an hour southeast of Minneapolis. And he came in with a quite amazing story. I mean, it just coincidentally, he also happens to be a Mooney driver, which, you know, of course, made me want to go see it even more.
Okay.
But his story was really eye-opening, I guess is a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, after a full day of flying in his Mooney, he wound up becoming unconscious due to carbon monoxide poisoning and crashed his airplane.
Ouch.
He had taken off on the last leg of his trip and passed out less than 4 minutes after takeoff. Mm-hmm. And the airplane flew on autopilot for well over an hour, flew right over the top of the Minneapolis airport, and before it finally ran out of fuel in the tank that he had selected. And the airplane, with the autopilot still running, flew itself to a crash landing in a field. And he woke up maybe 20 minutes to a half hour after the crash, looked out the window and went, huh, my glass is really clear, because it wasn't there. And that's when he realized, you know, what had happened. He was no longer flying. And
wow. So wait a minute. So the plane ran out of fuel.
Yep.
And just happened to glide to a landing in a field?
Well, remember, the airplane was trimmed for climb. So he had it set for about 120 knot cruise climb. And so the airplane was pitched to that attitude, and you know, if you let everything go, the airplane's quite stable and will hold that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened when the engine quit. It was still trying to hold that that 120 knot airspeed, and just kept the wings level and just kept flying. And it's just pure dumb luck that he didn't hit anything but an open field.
Well, yeah,
he said if the engine conked out even 1 second earlier or later, he would have either clipped power lines or would have wound up impacting the trees. So
unbelievable.
Dumb luck.
When you're saying he woke up a half an hour after the crash?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't a crash. It was a landing, I guess.
Yeah, but, I guess.
But the landing itself didn't even wake him up.
No.
He was that far out.
He was completely unconscious.
Well, okay, so this is carbon monoxide, which built up in the cabin somehow. So explain, what happened? Do we know, or does he know how that happened, or what?
Yeah, jumping forward to the end, the FAA investigated, and they did find there was a crack in the muffler that had been there apparently for maybe a couple of flights. Now, the airplane only had like 87 hours since it was last inspected. Mm. So sometime within that 80-hour period, a crack had developed in the muffler that allowed carbon monoxide to get into the cabin. And he chronicled this whole big flight. He actually flew from the Winona airport up to Thunder Bay, Canada, and back to Duluth, and finally back, you know, clear customs in Duluth. And it was that last flight from Duluth back to his home airport in Winona that everything kind of had built up to a point that he was, you know, wound up becoming unconscious. But when he started looking back at the whole history of the trip, he could see in hindsight that there was symptoms of him becoming poisoned by the carbon monoxide. He was getting, you know, banging headaches. He was getting this anxiety feeling occasionally. All of these things were symptoms of CO. And, you know, the moral of the story for him was you need to get carbon monoxide monitoring in your airplane. And, you know, by extension, your motorhome, you know, your fish house, whatever things you might be in where you've got, you know, fuel burning for heat or whatever, do yourself a favor and get a good carbon monoxide monitor.
Yeah, that's not standard equipment for an airplane like that, is it?
It's becoming more. I believe the new Garmin G1000s have some sort of a carbon monoxide interface. There's a company called Guardian Avionics that makes a panel mount device that you can install that can be interfaced to your audio panel for alarms. There's also portable products. SensorCon makes a very accurate detector that actually is an instantaneous read. He did, Rex, say that, you know, there are pilots that will go out and use like a home carbon monoxide detector, but unfortunately those are designed not to false alarm. So potentially by the time you got to a condition where it was causing danger, it might not even be indicating yet. So,
all right. So you had one before, or you got one immediately after this?
I'm getting one ordered.
Okay. There you go. It sounds like a little peace of mind and something that I'd want him to have before I go flying with him. I don't want to leave it up to my flying angel co-pilot to save me on that one.
No, not a good idea.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Captain, cabin's ready and doors are closed.
All right, gentlemen, it's time to get high and also fly this old bird. Just a little captain's joke. I never get high when I'm flying unless I mistime the edible. Another captain's joke.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Dennis, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so CO2, get one of your sensors, put it in that cockpit, and don't be like that guy who let his his autopilot land the plane for him and didn't even wake up till a half an hour later. That's pretty amazing. That's an amazing story. The guy, I mean, I would imagine right after that, did he like go buy a lottery ticket because his luck obviously is like through
the think he cashed roof. In any amount of luck he had left was used right there.
Yeah, I mean, and you're telling me this whole presentation, he had a name for this speech that he gave to your little aviation club. What was it called?
Well, he wanted to call it How I Lost My Tooth, but he didn't think that that would come across quite as well.
And what? He lost his tooth how? What do you mean?
Well, in the impact, in the crash, his, you know, his face obviously hit the dash and, you know, knocked a tooth loose. But, you know, that's...
That
you know,
didn't wake him up. He was that
no,
far
No, that didn't
out of
wake
it.
Him up either. Well, wow. And he also said, wear your shoulder harnesses, because he had them in the Mooney, and yeah. He had a pretty good bruise going across his chest. And he says, if I didn't have the shoulder straps on, I wouldn't be here to talk to you today either. So it was a great safety eye-opener for pilots.
Well, that's pretty wild that he was out cold that much, that the landing didn't wake him up, losing a tooth on the dash didn't wake him up.
The wow. F-16s that were scrambled to intercept him as he flew over Minneapolis didn't wake him up. He was completely unconscious from wow. carbon monoxide. That's so it's no scary. Joke.
Yeah. Well, they don't be that guy. And obviously, he's doing good work trying to, you know, tell other pilots, you know, don't follow my flight path and take proper precautions by putting a CO2 sensor in your cockpit. That sounds like good stuff. We'll have to get him on the show here eventually for sure.
Yeah, I've already talked to him about it, and he'd be more than happy to join us.
Okay, that sounds good. And with some other aviation news, Boeing is in the news, and they have done what exactly?
Boeing has set yet another Guinness World Record for producing the most amount of one model of an airplane. I just saw this today. Boeing just produced the 10,000th Boeing 737 airliner.
Okay. So are they in the Guinness Book of World Records now?
They are. And the funny thing is, this is the second time they've gotten a Guinness record for the same model airplane. I think it was in the mid-90s that they had crossed the 5,000 mark. And in the meantime, they have now surpassed that. I think they're producing something like 50 new 737s a year right now.
All right. Well, hats off to them. That's good. That's something to hang their hat on. I mean, who doesn't want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records? I mean, that I've kind of wanted to do that, but it'd be for something stupid like, you know, having 38 teeth instead of what? How many?
Longest distance swum underwater.
Yeah, you know.
That's all right. That's Neil Watson's already got that
right.
One.
No, mine would be some kind of freakish, you know, genetic defect kind of thing. But
Ripley's, believe it or not.
Oh, that's right. I'm mixing up my museums. You're right. Yeah, that I'd fall more in the latter category.
Longest fingernails, maybe you could qualify for. That would be a Guinness record.
I chew them off too easy. But I don't know. I'll just leave that one on the list for now. We'll figure out a way to make that happen. But some other stuff. I am planning to go to New York, as I said earlier, next week, and go hang out in the Big Apple for a big diving event, believe it or not, smack dab in the middle of, towards the end of winter still. It'll be cold enough for me as a Florida warm water wuss, but there's a major diving event going on up in Secaucus that I'm going to go attend. But I spent a few days in the Big Apple, and I'm not taking any helicopter tours after the news of, that made the TV news this week. Despite all the political stuff, it still managed to make its way to all the major news outlets about this helicopter that landed in the river. And unfortunately, it didn't end as well as, Sully's thing.
Pretty tragic story.
Yeah. I mean, but they did get it on video. It's pretty remarkable to see this. And I one thing I did watch in that, I don't know what you thought, but, you know, evidently the helicopter flipped over and the passengers, you know, were found still harnessed out. I don't know if they died on impact, but I got the impression it was more of a drowning kind of thing.
That's my impression as well. Yeah. They were harnessed in, and it wasn't, you know, like your typical seat belts like you'd find in a normal tourist helicopter. Yeah. They were doing something called a doors off flight. So you could have no window between you and your camera to get these, you know, stunning photos, and they can actually be secured into the aircraft where their feet can be hanging outside. So you get that you know, that perfect selfie with your legs out of the helicopter as you fly over the Statue of Liberty.
That's right. But that's why they have a lot of the helicopter pilots go through that special training to be able to survive an in-water landing in a helicopter that does just that, flips over, and they have to have a special procedure to get out of their harness or whatever and swim to safety. And I'm guessing those passengers didn't have that happen. But you had read something that the reason the thing failed in the first place might have been due to some weird luggage issue or what?
There's some speculation right now that the cause of the engine failure may have been the bags that the passengers had taken may have inadvertently hit the fuel shutoff.
Oh, boy. You know, and I will tell you, I've flown in a few, especially 172s, and you know where the fuel selector switch is down there, especially if you've done any flight training, but I ain't gonna lie. There's been a couple times where I've been flying with someone and I accidentally bumped a button or something with my knee or foot, you know, or something like. Have you ever had that happen?
I've had, you know, where you inadvertently hit a button or something like that. But that fuel selector, it takes a concentrated effort to actually turn it. You know, you have to physically do it. So I don't know how they would have done it or if there's any guards around it, but. Yeah, that would really suck because you don't have a lot of time when you're flying low like that to figure out that, you know, and go through your checklist. The guy just had to land.
Obviously. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.